I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to One Up Delivered Through the AI Podcast channel. It's me, Guy, your host as usual, joined by Carl. How are you doing, Carl?
Not too bad, Guy. How about yourself?
I'm good. I've been fine all day, and then it came to do the podcast, and I caught the case of the yawns, so... If I yawn through the podcast, it's not because I'm being a prick. It just happened for some reason. How are you, Carl? It's been, well, is E3 the last one we did? Must have been.
It is, yeah. We had good intentions, but I think we both were busy with different things. And to be honest, there wasn't a massive amount to talk about. I think we might have missed a Nintendo Direct and some Pokemon news, but that was about it. So there hasn't been we haven't missed too much, so I can't say people have missed out on that much, but we're back now and hopefully we can be semi-regular.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, well, maybe not. So maybe the podcast gets delayed to 2022 like every other bloody game as well. I mean we normally save it at the end, but seeing as it's been a couple of weeks and there's not been too much news, I mean, you've been playing out recently, I know you've been busy, but anything?
Yeah. After kind of not gaming for much for a few weeks, aside from my kind of weekly session of Final Fantasy 14, I've gotten a bit more back into it of late. Actually, even finished a game. I played through Sea of Solitude over a couple of days. It was a
nice,
interesting game. You know, it's
that the EA one.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of EA indies, if you want to put it that way. You know, they're kind of came from an indie studio but published by EA. It's very much your standard walking simulator for the most part, but like it's a interesting art style and an interesting story going on. I mean, the voice acting is a bit strange in that it's, I think, it kind of one of those where they kind of have people from the studio doing the voices, because some very heavy accents on. You can tell they didn't go and hire some natural English speaking voice actors, but it wasn't too bad in that sense. I also started into the Medium, you know, curious about the Xbox exclusive. That's not going to be an Xbox exclusive much longer. It's a decent survival horror game. I actually also gave Blair Witch Project a try, because that's leaving Game Pass soon, and obviously that's another game from the same team, Blooper Team. And Blair Witch is very, very generic and hard to play. I think Medium is a massive step up on that based on what I've played so far. And then other than that, my girlfriend and I have been playing River City Girls. So just a bit of mindless beat 'em up co-op fun. So that's been good crack. How about you, Guy? What have you been playing lately?
A couple things from me. I recently bought Chivalry, or Chivalry 2. So just a big, it's not even a battle royale, but just a big fucking melee war game. It's just mindless fun, really. It's no all luck, no skill on that game. You just literally just mash buttons till someone's head comes off. It's great. It's like Four Honor, but without the skill. I finally dipped into Hades, which came into Game Pass during our little hiatus there, and you can really see why it got all them awards. It's addicting. I mean, I really struggle to get into single player games outside of the Mass Effect trilogy, a Legendary Edition, I should say. And even then, I haven't finished 3 yet. But Hades just grabbed me. It's addicting. There's little characters. It's like them type of games you don't expect a narrative, but it just does. It has characters you like, it has characters you don't like. It's got a story. It's so detailed for a game that you'd expect you'd probably play once and be like, yeah, that was good, never again. But it really isn't. It's a class game. It really is.
Yeah, I've heard great things. It's certainly on my lists, and particularly because, I mean, it's on Game Pass anyway, so
exactly.
It's there and easily accessible. I know you were saying as well recently on WhatsApp that you've been playing Splitgate. I mean, I've been really intrigued by that.
Yeah, I have as well. I have. I'll do a sales pitch. Do you like Halo?
Yes.
Do you remember when Halo was good?
Vaguely.
Do you want to experience that feeling again of childhood Halo days?
It'd be a nostalgia trip.
Exactly. Now go play Splitgate, because that's what it is. It is Halo with Paul. Like, I've never played Paul. It makes me want to play Paul. But yeah, it really is. It's classic Halo multiplayer with its own twist with the teleporting and stuff like that. We're covering Gamescom here. It got a little feature. But the demand from it, maybe it's more due to the fact that all the big games are kind of failing, but Splitgate's got some great traction. It is just fun. It's addicting fun. It's an easy game to play. I think they've just added like Infected and stuff like that. So people who used to play, well, Halo, Time Splitters and stuff like that, remember how fun Infected was. I haven't been on Infected yet on it, but it is. It's like a throwback to Halo 3 and Halo Reach when Bungie had it. But yeah, it's a great game, and it's not even fully out yet, but as a beta, endless fun. Give it a try. I'm pretty sure it's on all platforms and stuff like that. But yeah, if you want a first-person shooter that isn't still like COD or hard like Apex, Splitgate's probably one to give a go.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. I've had it on my eye on it for a couple of weeks now, so I think I'll have to give in and download it. Surprised you haven't played Portal. You need to get on those games. I'd say they're like £1 on Steam at this point. They're well worth the play. Like two must play games, and then they don't take too long to finish.
I'll have a look.
Yeah, so clearly we've both been playing a lot lately, so we're probably in the right frame of mind to look at some new games.
Yeah, and before we do that, we'll get into the news. I mean, speaking of new games, we might get a new Amazon delivery simulator. Death Stranding sequel is reportedly in negotiations. Do you want to take us through this one, Cal?
Yeah, so this story comes from Vicky Blake over at Eurogamer, and Vicky writes, Death Stranding and The Walking Dead star Norman Reedus has reportedly confirmed that a Death Stranding sequel is, quote, in negotiations, end quote. Though Reedus didn't give too much in the Portuguese interview, and auto translations can sometimes be inaccurate, meaning we can only take this as a rumor for now, IGN Brazil reports he said he, quote, thinks, end quote, a second Death Stranding is on the way. Quote, I think we're doing a second Death Stranding, end quote. Quote, Death Stranding 2 is in negotiations right now, so yay. Reedus reportedly said to journalists at a recent The Walking Dead roundtable, and you can get the full story over at Eurogamer. So, are you surprised at all, Guy, that we're getting more Death Stranding?
Not really. I mean, I don't think either of us have played it. That's the problem. It's one, because I've never really been, like, I've been intrigued by Kojima games, but I never really grew up playing Metal Gear Solid and stuff like that, so I've never been, I don't know, I've never had that game where I fell in love with Kojima's stuff. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me because it seemed to be, I don't know about a smash hit, but it seemed to get its own cult following. And there's been rumours about Kojima doing a game for Xbox and stuff like that, but maybe it's it. Maybe if he has multiple projects on the go, if the Xbox One is true, maybe it's easier to do a sequel than a new idea. Because, I mean, his newest game is is Amazon delivery with black goo enemies. So, yeah, it's he's an inventive man, so it might be easier doing a sequel.
Yeah, I mean, I was somewhat surprised. As you said, I haven't played it myself as yet. I had all intentions of playing it, having picked it up, but then they announced the director's cut back at E3, and then I thought I may as well wait for that and play that instead. But it just seems from the outset like that the kind of game that would be one and done, you know, particularly when you consider that Kojima seemed to be bored of doing sequels over and over, and like he wanted to get out and try a few different kinds of projects. So I'm surprised in that sense. And also, as you pointed out, there obviously is the rumors of him working on something for Xbox. There's also that whole saga going on online that people think might be related to Kojima working on a Silent Hills game that's been developed by a partnership between Sony and Kojima, but obviously we'll talk about that more when we finally figure out what's going on with that. So for that reason, I would have thought maybe he had his hands full, but clearly not. And I suppose given how much of a cult hit Death Stranding is, I'm not sure, maybe it was the commercial hit that Sony would have hoped, but nonetheless, obviously, it's definitely has its fans, just like Metal Gear, obviously, just on a smaller scale. And it'll be interesting, though, to see. Do you reckon it's going to be another PlayStation exclusive, or could this be one that makes its way to Xbox?
I'd guess Sony exclusive, I think. Well, because I was going to say, would you put a sequel on something exclusive? But the Xbox are doing it with what's it bloody called? Firefly game. What's it called? Fallout in Space. Fallout in Space.
Starfield.
Outer Worlds.
Oh, Outer Worlds. Oh.
Yeah, okay. But I don't. We don't know the details at all of that, do we? Yeah, it might be a soft reboot or something like that. But, I'd guess. I think he's so synonymous with the PlayStation console. I think something that started off as an exclusive. I know Metal Gear Solid eventually ended up over on Xbox, but it was the latter ones, wasn't it? But yeah, I think Death Stranding, I'll probably just keep it on PlayStation, because could you imagine if you've not played the first game of a Kojima game and then jumping directly into a sequel without no idea, in a world where you're an Amazon delivery driver who fights invisible monsters.
That is a fair point.
And random celebrity cameos. It'd be a tough one to jump into, I think.
I think so. I think you definitely need some backstory there. Yeah. And even then, you're probably going to be confused. It'd be sort of like watching the third Matrix movie, having not watched the first two.
Yeah. Your only backstory is watching the scene where he's got all the screens in front of him with the old dudes.
Yeah.
Christ. Yeah, that would be painful. But we'll move on to our next story. And this might be one for more of a debate than the news story itself, but Steam's two-hour refund policy leads to indie developer quitting game development. I'll take us through this one. This is from Eurogamer from, why did I do this? Ishraq Subhan? Let's go with that.
I think it's a good one, yeah.
Yep. A new debate has erupted surrounding Steam's two-hour refund policy. If you weren't aware, Steam offers a refund for all game purchases, no questions asked, as long as your play time is less than 2 hours and it's within 2 weeks of purchase. It's a pro-consumer policy or a cost-effective way to reduce the numbers of service staff, depending on who you ask, that's in brackets. And the two-hour playtime threshold is intended to stop less trustworthy consumers from exploiting it. Most AAA games easily exceed the two-hour length. Looking at you, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, small indie games with short stories can fall short. This potentially leads to a situation where players can finish a game and return it within 2 hours. That's the exact situation faced by indie developer Amica Games, who recently released Summer of 58, a psychological thriller that received an overall rating of very positive on Steam. Unfortunately, the game can be completed in about 90 minutes, which leaves plenty of time for players to exploit Steam's refund policy. In a statement posted on Twitter, the developer said they are leaving game development and referenced that they aren't earning enough to develop more games because of the high amount of refunds. Now, Carl, I mean, this seems like an easy fix just by don't have a blanket refund policy, but, I mean, it opens up the debate whether consoles should have a set refund policy, but there's always exploits to things like this, but it does seem a bit daft that some indie games can be finished within that time. Surely Steam should have a system where this game is shorter than 2 hours. Please don't have a refund policy on this game.
Yeah, I mean, there's often been discussion on this two-hour trial in the past, and I think largely people's opinions on it are positive, and a lot of people would call for Sony and Microsoft to add a similar system, you know, even if it's just a 90-minute trial or even a 60-minute trial, just so you can try a game out and see if it's broken, which is probably important in this day and age, and also to see, obviously, if it's for you. But clearly there are games, particularly these days, that are especially the games are more of an experience than a game, and they can be very short. I remember there was one I played through on the Switch last year, and the name of it escapes me, but effectively it was only about an hour and a half long, and obviously a game like that isn't going to work for this trial because people are just going to buy it, complete it, refund it, and that's not fair on the developers. I mean, it's an exploit. So you think that Steam would instigate something possibly during certification, so obviously when a game applies to be hosted on Steam, that they can input a request, you know, to have that trial either removed or lowered for their game because their game is shorter. So you could say maybe for our game, we only want to give a 15-minute trial or whatever the case might be. I mean, there has to be some fix on Steam's end because it is ridiculous with these games. Because especially when one of these experiences and these shorter titles is a good game, it quickly gains traction. You know, podcasts are talking about it. YouTubers are talking about it. Streamers might stream it, although I'm not sure I'd want to watch someone stream a two-hour game and then play it myself, but they're going to get popular, and then people are going to learn, oh, this game's only an hour long. They're just going to download it, refund it, get their money back. So they have to sort this out, surely.
Yeah, and it seems like such an easy fix. So hopefully they fix it, and then that Amica Games can get back into game development, because It's just a crap way to be treated, really. I mean, for a budding career to be screwed over by a Steam policy that very fixable. It's a bit annoying, really. But what do you? I'm not sure what the refund policy is on PlayStation, but on Xbox, you fill out a form and you can tend to BS your way into a refund. Or that's my experience of it, unless I've bought stuff on a sale. But yeah, I think I've only like refunded like Fallout 76 when I pre-ordered it and stuff like that. And games when my mate ended up getting it at the same time I have, when we game share. But yeah, firstly, what's PlayStation's refund policy like? And you'd imagine something similar would make sense for both of them.
Yeah, I've never actually refunded a game on PlayStation, although maybe a couple times I've been tempted, but they would usually be with games that only picked up for a few euro in sales anyway. But I gather by reputation that it's a little stricter than Xbox would be, because I know, particularly with Cyberpunk, obviously, you know, probably the most refunded game in recent history, that originally people had to kind of jump through hoops with Sony to get their money back until they finally, when they removed the game from the store, then they started offering refunds more loosely. So I think, you know, Sony's probably the hardest of all platforms to get a refund, but I'm not too sure on Nintendo though, so don't quote me on that. But I do gather that Xbox is that bit more easygoing when it comes to refunds. But I think this trial, I said, obviously, you know, Steam need to work it out as far as the shorter games, but I think in general it's a nice idea. And I do think the other platforms should look into offering something similar, because, you know, not every game gets a demo. If they have a demo, that's different. But when they don't have a demo, and there's so many games these days, like I look through stores and I'm like, you know, what should I buy? What shouldn't I buy? And, you know, our time's short, games are plenty. It'd be nice to just be able to have a try of something, see whether I like it or not, and then try something else. Obviously, Game Pass allows us to try, you know, games that are on Game Pass, we can try them out and we don't feel obliged to play them. But if you pay full whack for a game, and you're going to feel some pressure to play through that game because you paid for it, but you might not necessarily want to. So I think a trial system would be welcome on both Xbox and PlayStation, and indeed Nintendo.
Yeah, I think it's something that he's looking at, really. But we'll move on to why we're here. Gamescom. And we've got three events. What's the word I'm looking for? Conferences.
Showcases.
Showcases, that's what I'm looking for. Showcases to talk about. We are going to skip basically one of them, and Carl's going to focus on the other one because I didn't watch it. but Microsoft, Bethesda, Carl, you suffered through this. Everyone said it was shit on Twitter, and you said it was shit to me. I didn't watch it because, well, the only big news was obviously coming on the event the day after in opening night live. But I mean, even from the notes you've put down here, not much looks too interesting, and the bits and bobs I've looked on Twitter, yeah, it's stuff we've seen, and it's stuff that's not really coming anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft and Bethesda knocked it out of the park at E3. Like, it was such a high quality showcase. It was just game after game, so many new games, so many games we wanted to see. Like, it was quite possibly the highlight of E3. And then they come to Gamescom, and for a long time, you know, even before they abandoned E3, Sony abandoned Gamescom, but Microsoft have stayed there, and it's almost like their attitude is, oh, we have to have something for Gamescom because, you know, we got the kudos for sticking with these showcases while Sony have moved away. And it just felt so forced. I mean, we barely saw anything new. I mean, I enjoyed it. It opened up, obviously, with the trailer, a new kind of extended gameplay trailer for Dying Light 2, which looked really cool. But, I mean, then it just went downhill from there. You know, they had a lot of people on stage. They were talking about, I remember, Flight Simulator for a long time. And, you know, every second game, it seemed like they had to get like a developer on stage to talk about it. And often it felt like they were talking about nothing, which is difficult. I mean, Age of Empires 4, they had this like little history piece about trebuchets. And then we had a developer on stage talking for a while. And then we had a very short trailer for the game. Like, it just seemed like they were just scrapping around for content to make an hour-long showcase when they just really could have just thrown a few games into Opening Night Live, and that would have ticked the boxes, because that's what Sony did, and that was fine. And it was just so, so forced. And it's just a shame that after such a hit of a showcase at E3, that they put this out here, because it just felt like they didn't respect people's time. I feel like my time wasn't respected having to sit through this. You know, if I hadn't had to do it for the podcast, I probably would have turned it off after about 10 minutes, because it just, like, there was no reason to watch this. Like, I got nothing out of it. I think the as I said, the Dying Light 2 gameplay and the kind of Game Pass sizzle reel were about all that I felt was worthwhile here. Like, otherwise, it was a complete waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, from the bits and bobs I've seen and the notes you've done here, I mean, the only newsworthy stuff is The Gunk's coming out September, which is the one where, well, you've got like a Hoover on your arm and you suck up gunk. That's pretty much it. That's that. We got Forza gameplay, didn't we? But hey, it's people driving about. It looks pretty.
First, we got a Forza controller, and this controller got like a ridiculously long teaser. And I thought, is this all they're going to show? And they did eventually show some gameplay as well. But I literally thought we were ending the thing with a Forza Horizon 5 controller, and that probably would have summed things up, to be honest.
I think if that was the case, I don't think you'd be doing this podcast right now. You would have told me to fuck off. Stray Blade looked all right, but I think that's early-ish development, isn't it? So we'll see what that is at a later date properly. Crusader Kings 3, I don't think we got much detail, but that is a very highly thought of strategy civilization type game, isn't it? And that's coming to console and coming to Xbox and coming to Game Pass day whenever that gets the console release. But that I mean, Crusader Kings 3, and we got barely any detail. That's probably my main takeaway from a conference.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, it's they've adapted it to work well on controllers. And I mean, there's been a lot of will they, won't they over Age of Empires 4 lately. Because obviously you can plug in a mouse and keyboard to your Xbox, but they have to, when they're porting a game over, they have to consider those who won't want to use a mouse and keyboard and will want to use the controllers. So they can't simply do that. But I think it's interesting to see Crusader Kings 3 kind of leading the way in that sense, and could it open the floodgates for a lot more RTS games to find their way to Xbox? And it'd make a lot of sense with Game Pass, because they could have it on both. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens there, particularly with Age of Empires 4.
Yeah, I think everyone our age loves Age of Empires, so I doubt my laptop could play it, because it just about plays Football Manager. but yeah.
My laptop can barely open File Explorer at the minute. It's literally on its last leg. So I think if I tried to load up Age of Empires 4, my laptop would just burst into flames and I'd have to fling it out the windows. I'm not going to risk that. So, you know, I hope, and I don't want to invest in a gaming laptop, so I hope that Age of Empires 4 will make its way to Xbox, and I could just plug in my mouse and keyboard into my Xbox and work away from there.
That'd do me nicely. But we'll move over to Opening Night Live, unless there's anything you want to be depressed about watching that Xbox conference.
No, I mean, all I'd say is please, Microsoft, you know, realize you don't have to be at every event. If you don't have to say anything to say, you just don't try to say anything. Just stay quiet and wait for the next event. That would be my advice to them.
Fair enough. We'll go on to opening night live. We'll start with the pre-show. I mean, I didn't watch that because I watched this just before the podcast and I was trying to save time, so the pre-show got binned off. But anything out of these few games, I mean, Bus Simulator 21 is catching the eye.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool trailer, the way they did up the bus in-game to be basically a living advertisement for opening night live and kind of simulated it driving to the event.
It's like Brexit all over again.
Maximum points for creativity. I mean, Nobody Saves the World looks cool. I mean, I'm a big Drinkbox fan, big fan of Severed and Guacamelee, so I'll be definitely checking that out. Disappointing 9 to 5 is not some adaptation of the Dolly Parton song. It's just a tactical shooter that looks like it's quite generic. And we saw House of Ashes again, which, even though I'm a big Supermassive fan, seemed a little pointless given the amount of coverage.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That came out at E3. I mean, it was just, the pre-show just felt like a way to shove a few more games in that might not have made it into the main show otherwise. So it's nice to see some of these games getting can their time in the spotlight.
Yeah, that's usually what pre-shows are for, aren't they? There's not too much there. We'll get into the main show. Maybe we'll go through each game. Maybe we'll just go through the ones that interest us next in the list. But we do have to start with Saints Row, which has kind of been a franchise that's been, not probably dormant's the right word, but it's not been too long since the last Saints Row game. We obviously got Saints Row the third. Was it earlier this year? Feels like it was earlier this year when that got
remastered.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was recently enough. I think it was either last year or this year.
Yeah. But, I mean, Saints Row getting I think they've called it a soft reboot. It didn't grab me, considering I love Saints Row 1 to 3. That's a bit of a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I've played through the first 4 Saints Row. I think I played them all. From my recollection, maybe I missed the 4th one. I'm not 100%, but I definitely played the first 3 and really enjoyed them, particularly the first 2. And I was kind of looking forward to more Saints Row because, you know, we don't know what's happening with GTA. It sounds like GTA 6 is still a few years off. And even when it comes out, it might not be much of a single player game, which would be very disappointing to me. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that Saints Row gives us that sandbox game in a single player sense. So I was looking forward to this, but the trailer didn't do much for me. You know, it feels like they're stuck somewhere halfway between, you know, Saints Row 1, which is obviously more of a direct GTA clone, let's say, and the latter Saints Row, which got a bit bizarre. So it feels like this is trying to nestle somewhere in between the two approaches. But it just probably didn't help that we didn't see much gameplay. Maybe when we see gameplay, we'll have a different take on it. As I am a big fan of the series and a fan of the studio Volition. So I'm not going to give up on this one quite yet, but I think I need to see more.
Yeah, I'm probably in the same boat. I mean, I say it didn't grab me, but we got, 5 seconds of someone shooting a car in gameplay, and the rest of it was just a CGI trailer, wasn't it? So it'll be interesting to see. Next up, Midnight Suns, which was the Marvel XCOM type thing. We get to see... Is it tomorrow we get to see gameplay, or is it 2 days?
Two days, September 1st.
2 days, September 1st. We get gameplay of this, but this was teased... Well, this was rumoured to get be there for E3. But it got obviously put back to Gamescom. But I mean, we didn't see too much, and the details are a bit sparse. But there's certain people who love XCOM type games, and having one that's got the Marvel tag with unique characters, and you can make your own character by the sounds of it, it should grab an audience.
Yeah, I think that this one would be big. I mean, we talked about it, as you said, when we previewed E3 way back when, and it didn't show up at E3, but we finally got it now. And I mean, the XCOM series, you know, certainly has its fans. I mean, I'd count myself among them. I've never finished one because, quite frankly, those games kick my ass. So I'll be hoping that this one is maybe dialed down slightly from the XCOM difficulty, so I can get into it and have a chance of finishing it. I'd expect it would be, because I think the permadeath from XCOM doesn't quite make sense here when you're dealing with superheroes. So fingers crossed that that'll be that little bit easier, and it'll be a little bit less tense, because, you know, when you get kind of to a certain stage in XCOM, you are sweating it, because you almost feel like your life's on the line, not just your little characters on screen. So as I said, I'll be hoping this one's a little less difficult, but still has, you know, the kind of what you expect from XCOM in terms of quality. So I'll be looking forward to seeing the gameplay on September 1st and seeing what this one's all about.
Yeah, hopefully. COD Vanguard, I've looked a bit at the multiplayer and it didn't look too good, but when there's bad multiplayer, you tend to get a good campaign, and that's what we got in terms of the footage we've seen here. I mean, COD's kind of been eaten alive by Warzone, but this single-player campaign looks interesting to me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I've been intrigued about the last Call of Duty. Well, actually, no, it's not even the last one at this point, but Modern Warfare's campaign for a while, because it looked quite gritty, and I've been waiting to play it, but it just never seems to go down in price. I think it's because they printed so few copies. So I'm still waiting on that one. But the last one I actually played through was Call of Duty World War II. And it wasn't the best Call of Duty campaign, but it certainly wasn't the worst. It was enjoyable. But this looks a lot better. I like the way they're approaching it. It almost gives me vibes of the vignettes from the Battlefield games. You know, kind of character-focused mini campaigns. And that was a real breath of fresh air. It was a great approach to kind of a first-person shooter campaign. So that this really caught my eye. And I mean, I love World War II, and I'm fascinated with kind of the characters and things that had their part in the war. So this could be right up my alley. So I'll be certainly keeping an eye on this one.
Yeah. I mean, I love the World War II game. I mean, World at War is probably my favorite one. the World War II campaign, World War II, the game wasn't too good overall, but the campaign was really good. Moving on to Halo Infinite, this is probably one we'll stick with longest, but yeah, it's we got the release date. It's the 8th of December, but we also have the news it's shipping with the campaign and multiplayer, but it's not shipping with co-op campaign, and it's not shipping with, is it Forge Mode, I think, is the one that's not missing at launch?
Which, I think so, yeah.
Forge Mode, get whatever, for me. I mean, I'd play it when it gets there, but no co-op campaign on a Halo game. That saddens me, because playing with your mates is most of the experience on a Halo campaign for me nowadays.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, I had a lot of fun with multiplayer over the years, but some of my fondest memories are sitting down for some couch co-op. I remember when my friends and I did four-player co-op for Halo 3, and it was nuts, but like, it was a lot of fun in the end. So that was a real kick in the teeth for me, because I was getting excited about Halo. I mean, the people were quite positive on the tech demonstration. And I think a lot of people who were doubting it were starting to get on board, and then they dropped this news a few days later that it was going to be without parts of the game. And it's just, it almost feels like in reality, they shouldn't be releasing this game till possibly the spring. But I think they're just desperate to get something exclusive on Xbox at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing. Obviously, that's what's missed from Xbox's first calendar year. We've now got Forza and Halo. It got good reviews in the multiplayer beta, to be fair, but I don't think you can screw up Halo multiplayer too badly. I mean, 4 and 5 didn't grab me like the Bungie ones, but that might be just being old and cranky nowadays. But yeah, I look forward to the multiplayer, and I'll play the campaign, but I don't think I'll appreciate that to its fullest till I play it with my mates. That's probably how I'll look at that. Cult of the Lamb from Massive Monster and Devolver Digital. This looks crazy.
Yeah, it was a crazy little trailer. And I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less from a game that involves Devolver Digital. I mean, there's always a lot of lot of crazy and a lot of blood and guts, and that's exactly what this trailer delivered. I mean, I'm always kind of, I think I like what, you know, I know Devolver Digital are just a publisher at the end of the day, but I think they have an eye for a game, and that's why they're so successful. So whenever I see a project that they're publishing, I tend to kind of keep an eye on it and see if it's something that will be for me long term.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just the roguelike game. me playing Hades has just kind of put me in the mood for that. But yeah, I'll keep an eye on this one. Midnight Fight Express. This is the one made by One Bloke, isn't it?
Yeah. Jeff was quite hyped on this one. I mean, and obviously, He has a lot of faith in it, given that he decided to include it in the showcase. I think it was also in the sizzle reel during the Xbox showcase, because it is going to be Game Pass. So I think by default, that means you and I are likely to check it out, because it's there and it's available. It looks like a fun little brawler.
Yeah.
You know, it looks, you know, there's not a lot to it, but given that it's developed by one person, that's understandable. But it certainly looks like it'll be worth giving it a look.
Yeah, probably a couple we can maybe not skip over, but talk about quickly. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah,
I'll certainly be on that one. As I said on the front end of the show, I've been playing River City Girls with my girlfriend lately. She seems to be quite enjoying beat 'em up, so I've been thinking of maybe something we can play afterwards. And, you know, by all accounts, you know, the previews on this one are good. People who have played it seem positive on it. So And I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, I grew up on them, and those old beat 'em up games back in the day on the Super Nintendo and that were right up my alley. So it's been a while since we've got a good Turtles game, so it's about time. So I'll be certainly jumping on this one.
Yeah, Demon Slayer, the Hinokami Chronicles. I do not remember this for some reason, and I watched it like an hour ago.
It was a very short trailer. They didn't really talk about it. It's based on an anime. It's a great anime. I'm not sure that the game would be for me. I'm not big on the developer, CyberConnect2. They were originally supposed to develop Final Fantasy VII Remake, and thank God they were taken off it. I mean, there's some good anime adaptations of video games, but a lot of anime games are just rinse and repeat, mindless games. And it's such a shame because they take properties that offer, you know, a great story, and they just do nothing with it. So, I mean, this one looks pretty, but I just would have my reservations, given, as I said, the developer and the history of anime adaptations.
Super Monkey Ball. It's Super Monkey Ball. It's a party game. There's not really much to talk about that. People will enjoy it if they play it.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I used to have a lot of fun with Super Monkey Ball with my mates back in the GameCube days. So if this, it's been a while. The series has been a bit poor of late, but hopefully this is a return to form.
Yeah. Splitgate, we kind of talked about Halo, but not Halo. Riders Republic, it's a game about biking and hang gliding and stuff, or wind,
jetpacks
and all sorts. Yeah, it's basically that steep game, but not cold. So yeah, just whatever. Sentry Age of Ashes, again, my mind's going blank for some reason.
Mine is too. I'm gonna just one a quick
Google.
Oh, it was the dragon.
It was PC and, only, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of was on
that. Flying in a dragon. Remind you of what's that? Sega Saturn game. I'm blanking on that as well. Panzer Dragon. Yeah. So it reminds you of Panzer Dragon. It seemed very much like a spiritual successor to that, was the vibe I got. So, again, it was another one kind of like Demon Slayer, where it wasn't really, it was more, almost felt like an advert for the game, rather than a pure trailer. So I suppose in that sense, it was kind of forgettable.
Yeah. Speaking of forgettable, UFL, which is a football game. This isn't PES, is it?
No. I think the studio, their new studio, they're from Belarus, I believe. A friend of mine actually sent the trailer for this on to me before I actually got to watch the showcase. I mean, it's bold to try and take on FIFA, and it's an interesting approach with the free to play model, but I just don't have high hopes for this. Mm-hmm. I don't have high expectations. I mean, PES was the king once upon a time. They got lazy. FIFA caught up on them, surpassed them. And now PES is trying to go to this semi kind of free-to-play model. It just doesn't work. I mean, I think PES or eFootball, I believe it's called nowadays, just about clinging in there, but it's I don't think it's long for this world, and I don't think this game will be long for this world either. I mean, what did you think?
Yeah, it just didn't look, I mean, I was barely paying attention as soon as I saw it was a football game, so that's probably how I summed that up. It didn't look the best, but I'm not even impressed by FIFA nowadays, and you look at the quality of people that look like that, you just know it'll be kind of repetitive. So maybe it's just growing out of sports games, but yeah, it didn't grab me. But one that has been doing the rounds for a while, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. I mean, who hasn't enjoyed a Lego game in all these years? And this looks like I don't know, it just looks like the full development of LEGO games, where it's funny, it's childish, but it's also nostalgic for people our age as well. I mean, I probably wouldn't pay for it, but I'd love to play this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be the same. I mean, I'm not a one who picks up every LEGO game. I know people who do. Like, some people are massive on these games, and they're absolutely biting at the bit to get their hands on this one. I've kind of played the odd one over the years, but they are enjoyable. They give you a laugh. It's kind of fun co-op. Kind of can be a little, just a game you can kind of switch off and play. And sometimes we need that kind of game. And I mean, this project's very ambitious in that it's taken on all 9 movies in the one title, which, you know, usually they're a little more focused. We can see maybe why it's taken so long for it to come out. I mean, it looks good. And I've listened to kind of games journalists and that have played it. And they're quite positive on it, and say it's kind of an evolution for the LEGO game. So I'd be interested in seeing this one. And as I said, I have been playing co-op with my girlfriend late. She's not a gamer. She's just trying to get into it.
Mm.
She played a few games when she was younger. So I think LEGO games kind of tick the box for someone like that. And I know she likes kind of Star Wars and things like that. So I've been kind of hemming and hawing on maybe this is one we might try out together. So I'll be keeping an eye on it when it launches early next year.
Yeah. If it's ever on sale and I just know it's on the Xbox Store, I'll pick it up, unless it gets terrible reviews. But we may have to hurry through a few. Synced Off Planet. I think I skipped through this because I was trying to hurry through because I think we were meant to start this podcast a bit earlier, weren't we? But I should have just watched it all. But Synced Off Planet, you remember this one?
Yeah, it's a sci-fi game. To be honest, it really didn't. It wasn't much of an eye-catcher, to be honest.
Outlast Trials, it's Outlast multiplayer. Yeah, if that's your bag, maybe one of the last ones we focus on. We're gonna go with Doki 5 or Doki V. I can't remember how it was actually said in the show. This game looks fucking weird, but also impressive. But also at the same time, if I played this game, I would be put on a register somewhere in the police. So yeah.
Yeah, it very much looks like one aimed at kids, but as you said, it was really visually impressive, and I could see this taking off with kids massively. I mean, we've seen it in the past with games like Roblox and such, and this looks like next level of that kind of thing. So I'll be really interested in seeing, you know, when this one gets a proper launch, how it does among that audience, because I think this has the potential to be a big hit.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, but Roblox, maybe Minecraft to a certain degree, but I think that's having adults can play that as innocently. Christ, who wants to talk about Far Cry 6 now? Jurassic Park, love that game, but not worth talking about. Vampire the Masquerade has been about 18 years, hasn't it? I swear we've talked about this about 10 different podcasts.
Well, there's 2 titles in the franchise in development right now. There's Vampire the Masquerade 2, which was the one that was supposed to be an Xbox exclusive and wasn't looking too good. And they sacked half the studio and then moved the product to another studio. And God knows when we'll get that game. The other one is this, which is Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt, which is like a Battle Royale, I think, type game with vampires. So it's a bizarre concept. We'll see how it comes out. It's a strange approach for the Vampire the Masquerade franchise, that's for sure.
Park Beyond is that's Roller Coaster Tycoon, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people have been crying out for a Roller Coaster Tycoon for a while. I mean, theme park's been dead for a long time. Roller Coaster Tycoon tried to move to mobile, didn't go so well. So I think people will be on this. We've seen what Two Point Hospital has done as far as offering a spiritual successor to Team Hospital. So I think there's definitely an audience for this one if they do it well.
Yeah. Jet the Far Shore, this is PlayStation exclusive, isn't it?
Or yeah.
Console, actually. I think you said it was on Epic as well.
Yeah, I mean, the developers, Super Brothers, have quite a reputation. They've only done a couple of games, but they've been kind of indie darlings. But this just never really does it for me. I've seen this game so many times. Mm. I don't know if I'm just seeing something different to what other people are seeing.
Yeah. Horizon Forbidden West. Did they confirm the delay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's coming out on the 18th of February now, which means, as we had long suspected, it's been delayed into 2022, which is a bit of a blow for PlayStation, given they don't really have much else coming this year.
You've had Ratchet and Clank and Returnal, to be fair.
True, and there is obviously the game from Bethesda, that I'm blanking on.
Assassin thingy.
Deathloop.
That's the one.
Don't know how about
We're good with names today.
So a lot of brain freeze. Yeah, Deathloop obviously is coming later this year, and that's a timed exclusive, but. You know, it did seem that Horizon Forbidden West was going to be the first big PS5 exclusive, but now it's delayed into next year.
You did get 60 frames on the first one, didn't we?
Yeah, there's a patch launched for Horizon Zero Dawn, 60 frames. If I hadn't completed that game 6 months ago, I'd be tempted to play it with the patch, because I'd say that will make the game a lot better. So if you're someone out there who hasn't played it yet, I think now is certainly the time to get on it. But look, sure, you know, delays are never fun, and as you joked from the end of the show, a lot of games now seem to be coming in 2022. Maybe COVID has had that effect, but you know, really our attitude towards delays is delay a game as much as you need to. You know, we want the game to be right when it comes out. We don't want more cyberpunks, so I'm sure Guerrilla, you know, they're a great studio. They're going to make this game great. And when it comes out in February, I'm sure we're going to get a critical hit.
Yeah, exactly. What is the next one you want to talk about? Because from the next one's an MMO that's been around ages, a phone game, and Tales of Arise. Again, I feel like we've talked about this for about a year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Tales of Arise, and I'd argue that that was maybe the highlight of the... It wasn't even, like, showing off the game. It was Lindsay Stirling doing a musical performance.
Mm.
And she's always great to watch. I mean, she plays the violin like nobody else can. It was a bit of a weird end. I mean, you had, like, Cor Oberhasli, which is, like, seems to be some sort of online world where people can create their own games. This was a game, an offering from Deadmau5, as I always used to call him, Deadmaus, but the man himself told me I was wrong. So,
nah, who knows? He's wrong. He's incorrect.
DJ. I never heard of Cor, so I was quite intrigued to check that out. Then there was a lot of weird, like, there was a World of Tanks music video. It was bizarre. We got some Genshin Impact content. Obviously, it's big, but we don't really need to see more of it. And then Sifu, which looked pretty cool, from Slowcap, got a release date finally, 22nd of February. So I know a lot of people are looking forward to that one. And then they finished out with an extended look at Death Stranding Director's Cut, even though we already kind of had a extended look at that at E3. I don't think people really needed to see that. I think that was a strange choice for kind of the show closer.
He is friends with Kojima, isn't he? I think that's probably why.
That's true. And that's he wants to keep his mate Kojima on side, I guess. But
yeah.
I mean, it was all in all, there were some good games there, but there was, I don't know, that at times the pacing seemed a bit off to me. I mean, it wasn't. I think maybe just E3 set the bar, you know, kind of the summer of games, yeah. Even was obviously which was from Jeff as well, was a better showing for me. It just yeah, I just like think maybe that it was difficult for Gamescom to come so quickly after E3.
Yeah, Gamescom never seems to. I don't know, maybe because it's usually in Europe and maybe it's for more the people at Gamescom. Yeah, it's doesn't really have the E3 big pop reputation, does it? So, yeah.
No, it's always kind of just the handful of things they maybe just keep aside for Gamescom to satisfy people, or maybe a couple of things that aren't quite ready in time for E3 and just want to get that extra 6 weeks in the bag before they show themselves. But mostly it's scraps when you compare it to E3. And I think that showed in especially in the Xbox showcase, but a little bit in opening night live as well.
Yeah, exactly. Before we finish quickly, I mean, awesome indies. You told me to look out for Roots of Pacha, which is the Stardew Valley game, which seems to be, as soon as there's an indie showcase, you just find me games that look like Stardew Valley, and that works for me, Carl. But anything that caught your eye?
There was a couple of games. The Conscript, it's sort of like a World War II based kind of survival horror top down game I think it's from just one developer, Jordan Mochi. It's quite intriguing. Serial Cleaners, which is where you play the role of a person who basically cleans up after serial killers. Lovely. You have to kind of go into buildings and clean up and get rid of bodies and avoid the police who eventually show up and then drive off in your car filled with cadavers. So it's a unique approach for a game. Not every day you play the cleanup crew. And the other one that would have stood out to me was Arcadian Atlas. For a moment I got confused. I forgot I was watching an awesome indie showcase and thought maybe I was watching a Square Enix showcase, because this looks as possible as it could be to being a Final Fantasy Tactics game. I mean, this game wears its inspiration on its sleeve, because I as I said, I really thought I was looking at Final Fantasy Tactics, and I'm a big Final Fantasy Tactics fan, so I'll be definitely checking this one out.
Yeah, I mean, I may check this out later on just to see if anything else caught my eye, but that's it for Gamescom, and that's it for us, Carl. Mate, we'll hopefully have some news to talk about soonish, but I mean, the way this year's going, possibly not, but maybe we'll think of a topic and come back. Let's not overpromise, but hopefully soon. but yeah, that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Probably one of our shorter shows, but that's how Gamescom went. But thank you, and goodbye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.